Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. What's up, everybody? Happy. I know what day it is today. It's Wednesday. I didn't know yesterday. It's Wednesday all day long today.
The next, the sports talk universe.
There you go.
Well, when you say that.
Well, I'm going to keep saying it, because I want you to love what I say. I love what Robert was saying. See, we get into these discussions. Lucas and Buck were talking about Hamburger Helper earlier, so then I asked Lucas about Hamburger Helper, and then Robert said something that all of us don't believe. Lucas, did you believe this? Blaine, did you believe it? Robert said, in New York, they don't make cheeseburgers.
No, that's not true.
They make something called a chopped cheese.
No, I believe that they do that, but they do make cheeseburgers. Yeah,
there's no way you can't get a regular cheeseburger in New York.
Yeah.
I would think you could get a darn good cheeseburger in New York. I would think there are some places where you could get a cheeseburger that would change your life. But he said, no. It's just a skillet with meat and cheese cooked in it, like hamburger meat and cheese, and they just chop it up. So I said, it's not in the form of a patty. He said, no. I said, so they just put a pile of this on a bun. He said, yes. And I said, well, that sounds fantastic. If it's just meat and cheese cooked in a skillet, what's not to like? Or on a griddle? He said he didn't like it. I don't know. We need a New Yorker to call in and confirm or deny that such things even exist. 615-737-1045 or hit us in the Zone TV chat. Blaine, I know you spent some time in New York. You seemed unfamiliar with this term of chopped cheese.
We're talking about, early 2000s. I lived there in the off seasons because my wife worked for the NFL, and that's where it's headquartered. So, So I don't recall any of that there. I definitely had some cheeseburgers there. So I don't know if things have changed over time, but I would assume they still have a regular burger.
Maybe someone going up for the Vols game against FAU in the Sweet 16 can call in and check back with us.
100%.
Yeah, they're in Madison Square Garden, right? Two wins there in the Final Four. Is that right? Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, man, that's wow. Things have kind of fallen their way. Man. We got to ask Lucas. He's a UT guy. If I'm just giving you scenarios. If they lose, will you still be okay with how far they went? Or will it be more about that you lost to FAU? And so now the expectations is still ramped up that you should beat this team if you lost.
It would definitely be difficult to swallow a loss to FAU. And so the pressure shifted now, right? They weren't supposed to beat Duke.
Right.
They
so
did
now the
it. They played
on
freely.
Them.
Pressure's right back on Tennessee.
Yeah.
But you cannot sit here and say that 2-3 weeks ago you told somebody, yeah, they'll be in the second weekend for the second time in the Barnes era. And they would have said, no, got to be Elite Eight for it to be a success.
So nope. Where does the pressure go, win or lose, with Barnes, the coach? I think a lot of pressure is off on him, especially since he beat Duke. But if you lose against a team you're supposed to be, because they're favored, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So where does it, there, is it going to be a little bit like if they lose, if, you're going after Barnes, the fans, or has that kind of decimated a little bit?
Some people will, but the whole knock on him is not able to get out of the first weekend. And then from there on out, man, it's March. Like,
okay.
Anything
can happen.
Yeah. You can get to the Elite Eight. You can get to the Final Four. Obviously, the chips have fallen where Tennessee has a big opportunity to get to the Elite Eight. But if Tennessee wins,
ooh, it's going to get lit.
I think there is a very strong argument for Rick Barnes as the best
coach,
basketball coach in Tennessee history.
UT history, yes. Right? Because he would have taken them further than anybody, right? Well,
Bruce did it once.
One time.
Bruce got to
that
the,
yeah.
They lost to Michigan State in, it was either the, I think it was the 09, 08, 09 season.
Oh.
It was in that era.
It was Michigan State. Oh, I don't know.
Lost to Michigan State in the Elite Eight.
Okay.
Draymond Green.
Yeah.
You may very well see Michigan State again. In this rascal history could repeat itself.
It always does.
I saw less hype for this team before the tournament.
1,000%.
Because of their roller coaster ride of how they play. And then with Ziegler out, that kind of threw a monkey wrench in
there. The least amount of expectations for a Rick Barnes team in the tournament, I think, in the Barnes era. You can make an argument for that 2021 season. Because that team wasn't expected to go far. They went 1-and-done, lost to Oregon State in the round of 64. But they had talent. They had Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson. Thought, hey, maybe they'd get hot, but it doesn't look good. But, yeah, no question, there was not a lot of juice going into this one.
I think people now, I think if you'd said before the tournament, hey, you guys can make the Sweet 16, I wonder what percentage of Vols fans would have been like, where do I sign?
Everybody.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, though, the interesting thing is
you want more
because it's FAU, and you think, gosh, if we can, they're what 30, 5-3 or something.
33-3, I believe.
They're 33-3. So, I mean, they shoot the ball well. They shoot from three. Now, if you're Tennessee, you have a distinct size advantage. You ought to be able to grind. They do have a 7-foot guy, but other than that, they're not the biggest team. You ought to be able to grind these rascals down. But if they get to running and gunning and jacking up some threes and making them and get their confidence up. But now if you don't – literally, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're like, wait a second. All we have to do is beat Florida Atlantic and we're in the Elite Eight? I think people's expectations now, Blaine, have been completely like reset. Like, oh, no, we don't beat these guys. I'm going to beat
them. Right, well, they know they're going to be – it's not that easy.
Nope.
Yeah, they were – weren't they the champs in the Conference USA? Yeah, they were. They won 30.
Yeah.
How many games did they win? 33?
Yeah, over 30 games.
Yeah, man, they're not going to be, you know, an easy ride. You hope it is, but better not expect that as the players. I know the fans will, but I think the players, you make it this far, anything can happen. Yeah, and especially in basketball. I mean, you could have a bad shooting night and the other team has a great shooting night. You could be in perfect defense.
Hey, I'll say this. I remember being thrilled when Loyola Chicago upset Miami in the first round a few years ago because Tennessee got the winner between Loyola Chicago and Miami. And it was, yes, get to play Loyola now instead of Miami, a good team out of the ACC. And then what happened?
Yeah, it's just that's why you love March Madness, though. Anything can happen. I love it. And I'm always cheering for the underdogs. Like, oh, let's see, especially that first round. That first round, I'm like, woo, even though it just destroyed my bracket. Well, Purdue did. Purdue just shot it. Bing! Yep.
I looked at the start.
Did you do your bracket?
I didn't fill out a bracket.
Oh, I did.
I want to be able to root unencumbered by bracket, by a piece of paper, so I don't ever fill one out. I mean, if we had a challenge or something here, I'd do one if everybody else did, but I don't want to be so mad, you know, or rooting for some team. I just want chaos. Mm-hmm. I looked before the tournament because I thought, when was the last time anybody not with the Big East or like a Power 5 conference won? Do you know when that was? Like true chaos to the point of, and you won't even think of these guys as an underdog, but they were from a small conference.
Who?
UNLV, 90. That's the last that thing I read said Power 6. It was basically the Big East and the Power 5 conferences. The last non-power conference team that won it all was UNLV.
That's when they beat Duke?
Yeah, they were in the Big West or whatever they were in at that time.
Right, but I'm talking about, yeah, with Duke. That's the year they beat Duke or no? Or was it somebody else? Because the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I'm going to do like you do. That was the year that they beat Ball State in the Sweet 16, UNLV, by 2. And then went on to win the national championship.
But does UConn not count towards that?
No, they count as Big East.
Yeah, Big East was UConn.
So Big East is big.
Yeah,
is power for basketball. So Big East doesn't count unless they've been in a mix so many times. But it was UNLV. It's what the writer wrote about.
Because they were in the championship 2 years in a row. They lost 1 year and they got smoked. And then the next year they came back and won it.
And then what? Duke won. Did Duke win the next two after they lost to UNLV? Was that it? I think they did. That was a golden era of college basketball, man. That was the early.
That's when the ACC just dominated. Now ACC is kind of just, they're like third.
Now they cry about physical play.
Yeah, yeah. SEC, three teams in, four women, right? Four women team in the SEC. So, man, you think they can go 3-for-3, 4-for-4? Come on, let's put some money on. What's the odds say? I know Lucas already got all his money in there. He got the chips at the, big money over there.
I need to look this up because I saw this earlier. The Vols, men and women, both in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Oh, let me find this.
The women's is South Carolina, Tennessee, LSU, and Ole Miss. I don't know. What are you looking for? Like, what teams have two teams?
This is from this stats a guy account that I've, Greg Harvey, between the numbers on Twitter. Schools to win a New Year 6 BCS college football game since 1998 and have both their men and women's basketball team advance to the Sweet 16 in the same year. 2010-11, Ohio State. 2012-13, Louisville. Remember that magical run that Louisville got on and everything? And Louisville, their AD was like AD of the year. That was a crazy time. The only other school to do it since 98 in 25 years is Tennessee.
Oh.
This year's 22-23 Tennessee. Men and women, Sweet 16, football team, and a BCS.
Lucas did not know that.
Did you know that, Lucas?
I'm a little disappointed.
I don't think I knew that.
our go-to right there for UT.
Well, we did what caught your attention yesterday, and I'd written a bunch of stuff down, and I hadn't even seen that tweet yet, but I was just going to write the successful year that Tennessee is having, and here's why. Because throw baseball there in the mix. I know they didn't lost in their super regional, but they hosted a super regional and lost to a red-hot Notre Dame team. It was Notre Dame, I believe, that beat them, right, that came in and got them 2 out of 3 games. Yep. But your baseball team hosted a super regional, men and women both in the Sweet 16 for basketball, and then Josh Heupel, 11 wins was the best since 2001 for Vols football?
Yeah. Men's so what's the UT right now? They better live it up. They had some down times, but they living it up right now.
I hope people are living it up.
Yeah.
Because you got no guarantee. I mean, Lucas, you're a UT guy. Are you living it up right now?
It's good. It's pretty good. It's been pretty bad. Now it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Would like a championship out of it.
Whoa, I hope so. That would be awesome. It would be livid here. Oh, my. Lucas would be off for a whole week. He'd be partying to the tardy.
Okay, so let's do this. And we can even put this out as a poll question on Blaine and Mickey. If you had to put money on the next UT team to win a championship, men's basketball, Lady Vols, baseball, or football, who would you pick?
Oh, that's a great one.
We got to put that out.
That's about to get tweeted out.
That's big
Twitter.
Time right there. About
and put the Lady Vols in there, too. Lady Vols, men's basketball, football, baseball.
Yeah. I think I would go baseball. I think baseball is most ready right now to go on a run, especially because it's college baseball. And I know crazy stuff happens in March, but typically one of the best teams in the country wins the tournament. Baseball is so volatile. Like Ole Miss got swept by Tennessee in the SEC regular season last year by a combined score of like 27-3 or something. And then Ole Miss went and won the national championship.
Didn't
in the
Ole
college
Miss
kind of
eat their way into the into the postseason.
Barely
anyway,
got in,
right?
And they won the College World Series. And so I think Tennessee under Tony Vitello has the best shot right now because your football, you still got to get over the Georgia hump. Basketball, you got to get over that Sweet 16 hump. But that's a good question.
All right. Well, I was due for one. All right. We'll try to get over the hump to the next segment because we got Blake Lovell coming. We'll talk
Humpty Hump.
Three SEC teams left in the tournament. Who does he like overall? How many of these teams can win? Can Barnes and the crew keep it going? We'll get to all that and more next with Blake Lovell of Southeastern 14, talking some basketball on Blake.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
And Mickey. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blake Lovell should be on with us here in just a second. Lucas said that phone lines are going crazy. So if you're the phone person, Mr. Telephone Line, see what you can do for us here. Get that thing working.
But I was going to bring up something. Remember, you know, I went you know, berserk on caught your attention with Dobbs. Mm-hmm. What if the Titans going to draft a quarterback first pick?
Well, that's part of my notes for today. Maybe they're thinking something that we're not thinking about.
Or maybe we'll get Hendon Hooker the second pick. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out, like, who's the backup quarterback list? I'm sure there's a whole bunch of them out there. But I was just like intrigued, like maybe they got something up their sleeve that we don't know.
I would love to know what it is. And that's in my notes for today because we talked about this yesterday. They didn't re-sign Dobbs. Apparently it was a 1-year deal for $2 million.
That's it.
Dude's already got his stuff in the locker over here. Like, you could have just hollered at him, and you could have signed him the day the season was over because he was your own free agent. So literally, all you had to do was be like, hey, Dobbs, stop by the office on your way out, man. What's your agent's number? Yeah, we're going to call this dude. We're going to get this done. Don't even put your stuff in a sack, man. Just keep it in your locker. That would have been so easy. Okay. They didn't do that, and that was easy. So what are they thinking?
Is there some veteran guys out there? I'm sure it is. There's a whole bunch of matter of fact, we just saw Cam at the pro day, but I ain't talking about
Cam Newton.
No, it's people I do not
trying
want
to project
Cam.
Him to the Titans already.
You?
No, I got it in my notes.
Stop that! He is not coming on the Titans.
He's already.
I'm not even feeling the vibe of Superman. Superman, his kryptonite's got him. I think he could probably play an emergency situation, which means somebody pick him up throughout the season, and then they in desperate times. That's about as far as I'm going to go with Cam Newton. Yeah, Cam Newton's still playing like he just got out of college, and he got to become a pocket passer a little bit better for me.
That dude took so many hits.
Well, he was giving out hits too, but that don't last for long, even for a big, massive human being like him.
Nope.
Like, that dude looked like a defensive end.
He did. I think I've told you this story. In the year he won the Heisman, we played them.
Arkansas State. Mm-hmm.
We played them, and we were standing on the field, and somebody said, "That's the quarterback." And one of the other guys goes, "No, that can't be." He goes, "No, number one, that's the quarterback." And somebody's like, "They got two, because college teams have two."
Right. Mm-hmm.
Some guy goes, "They got to have two number ones. That guy's a defensive end."
Mm-hmm.
And one of the coaches walks over and goes,
That's
the quarterback.
Boy, he is massive. Well, I saw him at the Super Bowl. I was like, ooh, on Radio Row. I was like, good gosh almighty.
He's full size.
I would have had to bring everything and then some to make sure I got this rascal down.
I would have gone so low. I would have been reading it like the label on his tongue of his shoe. Like, oh, Adidas.
Yeah.
Well, I might, Nike.
No, I would have tried. I would have headhunted him. I would have went.
You going up top?
Air bar. Gotta get him. Oh. Send a message.
Big tree fall hard.
Matter of fact, big tree fall hard. Big tree knows even if he spins out of it, hey, the other guy's going to get there. I'm sending a message. That dude is not playing. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, but I would have gone for the shoestrings. Blake Lovell, if you had to tackle Cam Newton in his prime, how would you have gone at him? Blaine says straight to the top. Mm-hmm. I say straight for the shoe logo. Where are you going to try to hit him?
Try to hit him in his head.
Yeah, I mean, look, with all due respect to Mickey here, I'm gonna go with Blaine given his history in making those kind of moves. So I'm gonna go with Blaine on this one.
Yeah. All right.
Not the size of Blaine today in the mindset, but boy, back then, I got this dude. Boy, I would have been revved up for that guy. There's no way, because if not, I'm losing.
I mean, it makes sense. I get it.
All right. I got to ask you this just because this is a question that came up in the first segment of the show. Then we'll get into all the basketball stuff. But if somebody said, okay, Blake Lovell, you know, go get $1,000 out of your rainy day fund, and you got to take it to Vegas and bet on one of these teams to win the next championship for the University of Tennessee. And it was Lady Vols, men's basketball, football, or baseball. Which one of those would you pick? I mean, you cover the whole SEC. What do you think about this?
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I will say, well, I was actually going to lean towards Lady Vols because, mm-hmm. but then I think about it. I mean, the thing about that is, right, like, if you get a dominant team like South Carolina is right now, we've seen the dominant Lady Vols teams in the past. We've seen the UConn teams. I feel like there are less dominant teams. Like, you may have one team each year, like a South Carolina, that comes through and just beats everybody. So maybe your path to get there is wider than maybe the other places. But I don't know. I mean, baseball, too, is one where I would expect them to be a top five team in baseball for the next while, as long as Tony Vitello is there. And I mean, football obviously heading in the right. I don't know. That's an interesting question, though.
That's a tough one.
I may go Lady Vols, honestly, guys.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. All right. See, we had two. We've got different answers. People responding in the chat. All right. We'll get into that again later. The Blake Lovell on Twitter, Southeastern 14. So, did you have Tennessee and Arkansas joining Bama as the final three SEC teams standing?
You know, I thought that Tennessee could get there, but if you asked if I had any confidence in them beating Duke, it was pretty low after that first game that I saw against Louisiana. And I saw the way Duke looked against Oral Roberts. I was like, well, I don't know how I feel about this matchup. But Arkansas has always been interesting to me. I mean, you know, we have a lot of Arkansas people that watch our stuff, and I think they've kind of said the same thing what we said all year, is like, they've had the talent. I mean, they've had Final Four talent all season. It's just, can they ever put it together? And, well, they're putting it together the right time. So, I mean, the Tennessee one is just always a mystery to me, because it's like, you know what you're getting from them defensively. You just don't ever know when they're going to hit that 5-minute stretch offensively where they can't score. And but no, I mean, I thought Kentucky would have a good chance to get there, but I don't know. It's just wild to see how this tournament's played out, especially for teams like Arkansas and Tennessee, who've really been up and down over the past month or so.
Sure has. But if you're going to win and string some together, do it in March at the Blake Level on Twitter, Southeastern 14. Check them out for all your SEC needs.
Well, Blake, with UT's win over Blue Blood Duke, you know, I guess, how does this affect your perception of Coach Barnes there at Tennessee? Does it change it? Does it stay the same, or just no impact at all?
Well, I think anytime you get wins in the NCAA tournament when you're Rick Barnes is always a positive, because we know what the discussion is every year. And I think, like you said, it's not just getting a win, but it's knocking out a Duke team that, let's be honest, a lot of people I saw picking Duke to go to the Final Four or get to the national championship game and all that. And so this was a very popular sort of team that was playing very well. I mean, they had won, I don't remember what it was, 9 games in a row or something like that heading into the tournament. And so I think just to get that and get out of the first weekend, because remember, too, I think everybody sort of thought coming into this tournament was, man, they don't have Sky Ziegler. They'll probably beat Louisiana, but I just don't know after that. Like, it's sort of, you know, you're playing with house money, essentially, even though that's not the way you want to look at it. But I think it's significant just in that regard, because anytime you can get to the second weekend, you never know how the bracket's going to unfold, right? And look at how Tennessee's bracket has unfolded. Like, we could have never guessed that coming into the thing. So, you know, think about that. Like, let's say, not to say this game against Fort Atlantic won't be tough, because I think it will be, but, you know, if you lose the game to Duke, all of a sudden you look up there and you're like, oh, boy, we're about to, you know, we could have that potential to play a 9 seed in the Sweet 16 for a chance to get one step closer to the Final Four, and we just let that slip away. So the fact they took care of business the way they did, I think it's got to be a significant sort of positive for Rick Barnes, just for the perception of what he can do there, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Blake Lovell. I guess, Blake, different now that it seems though the pressure is on Tennessee, where before it was kind of, they probably will lose, and no big deal against Duke, right? Because it's a blue blood. Well, now that the pressure is on them to win, how do you think this team and Coach Barnes and his staff will handle that? Or do you not see it that way?
Well, no, I do think the pressure is on them now, because like you said, I don't, you know, outside of that first game, you know, you're always going to have the pressure game one because you're the higher seed in that kind of matchup. But game two, I mean, like I said, me and many other people thought Duke was probably going to win that game because he just didn't love the way Tennessee had played against Louisiana. But now you come into it, it's like – like I just said, right, the bracket has opened up all of a sudden, and you're sitting here with what you feel like is a great opportunity playing a 9 seed, which, as I'll say, I mean, Florida Atlantic's not your traditional 9 seed. Like, they've won 33 games, and as we've seen, you know, Conference USA's had some success, could have more success tonight in Nashville with UAB against Vanderbilt and the NIT, and there's some good teams in that league, and I think Florida Atlantic is one of those. But, you know, the pressure's not on them because they are, you know, if they would have played Purdue, no one would have given them a chance to be in this spot. But they happen to be here, and you don't want to take anything away from what they did, you know, in the first round beating Memphis or beating Fairleigh Dickinson in the second round. But they are essentially the team now that can be Cinderella, although I don't know that people are going to necessarily frame them that way. With the way the game ended against Fairleigh Dickinson, I think there are a lot of people who were not real thrilled with the dunk attempt and all that at the end of that game. But the pressure's on Tennessee because, like we just said, Blaine, it's like, okay, Rick Barnes, significant. We got to the second weekend. Great. But now you better win this one because you are now, again, in what seems like a great spot to get to the Elite Eight and be one win away from the Final Four. And you don't get this every season, right? You don't, as a 4 seed, get to avoid a number 1 seed. But it's happened here now. And so I think there is some pressure there. And I look at this team, though, like I think they've embraced what they are. Mm-hmm. You guys know all the discussion of, you know, how they play defense and all that. I went off yesterday. Like, I'm like, I love the way they play. Like, don't give me a team that's just going to sit back and let the other team dictate what they want to do. Tennessee is very physical, and I know there are people who don't like that, but if you don't want to have contact in basketball, go play another sport, because they're doing what they have to do to make it as hard as they can on the opponent. And so I think they're kind of embracing what everyone else, kind of the noise around them, and like, hey, this is a Tennessee team that either, what was it, Dusty May, I think the Florida Atlantic coach, which I greatly respect, by the way, but he's like, you know, we're going to start studying the Australian rugby rules and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I get it, man, but that's Tennessee, and that's how they've gotten here. So.
Well, I thought that was a strategic move by him putting forewarning to the referees. See, that's who he's talking to set it up where don't let them have a tight, you know, have a, you know, whistle. Don't let them play as physical. That's what he's really saying, even though he's poking fun at the same time. I guess last thing for me is, I don't know how much you know about FAU, but tell us a little bit about them. And is there any team that, you know, Tennessee played that's somewhat similar in styles?
Yeah, and actually I do, Blaine. It's interesting because, like I said, Dusty May, of course, he was a former Florida assistant. He was there with Mike White at Florida. And so I actually got to know Dusty pretty well, just kind of, you know, texting back and forth and stuff. And, I mean, I think, like I said, there, you don't get to this point being a 33-win team in Conference USA. I mean, I think about it. Like, we're not talking about the worst conference in the country or anything. We're talking about a 33-win team in Conference USA, which is not what it used to be, but – this is a very strong team, and I always say teams that I like in this time of year are teams that really don't have an identifiable weakness. And when I kind of study this team, outside of probably like size, I mean, they don't have a ton of weaknesses. They can shoot the ball well, and we know, I think that's the one thing you're going to look at in this game. Like I said earlier, guys, we've talked about it all year. If Tennessee hits that stretch where they're not scoring, and you've got a Florida Atlantic team that I think is 10 to 12, something like that, nationally in three-pointers per game. If, you know, if you're doing that, that can become a big problem quickly for Tennessee, because then what does that do? That puts the pressure on Tennessee to start making outside shots, and let's call it what it is. That's been a guessing game all season long. So I think Florida Atlantic's ability to shoot the three, I think they get 37.2% of their points from three. That's like top 25 nationally. So they get a large distribution of their points from the three-point line. But, hey, Tennessee's the best three-point field goal percentage defense team in the country. So it's just, I think that's the key to this matchup. They're a team, and I know some people have kind of been sort of drawing the parallel to Missouri as kind of Florida Atlantic. But we have to sort of think about one thing on that. The reason Missouri had success against Tennessee, I don't think it was really talked about a lot, but it was because Missouri could force a ton of turnovers and get easy, like, transition threes that were wide open. Florida Atlantic doesn't really turn teams over a ton. So I think now you have to decide, like every team does, are you really going to come down and try to, in the half court, score against Tennessee, who is going to push you out as far as they possibly can defensively? And this is a Florida Atlantic team that will get up and down the floor, so they're going to have some decisions to make on how they approach this, because – as we know, it's impossible to get easy shots against this Tennessee team, but Port Atlantic's going to need that, I think, to keep that on track with what they've been doing three-point-wise.
Managing editor of Et 14 Southeastern, Blake Lovell in the house.
Yes, sir, just dropping the knowledge. All right, the other two SEC games that remain, you got a good defensive team in San Diego State taking on Bama, who's top five in scoring. Then you have Arkansas, who loves to attack you, against UConn, who are good in transition defense, and they defend the rim well. So these are both really interesting matchups, too.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think the Alabama-San Diego State one, I know Alabama fans have not been thrilled with this, but, like, maybe I'm not a huge Mountain West guy this year. I didn't think some of those teams, you know, Nevada should have been in the tournament, those kind of things. But I really like this San Diego State team because of what you just said. Like, they really defend. And I think if you're going to beat Alabama, who are the teams that have beaten Alabama this season? Tennessee's beat them because they could really defend. You know, Texas A&M beat them because they could really defend. You know, go back to the UConn game. How did UConn beat Alabama early in the season? They were very physical with them, and they just defended. And I think that's what it comes down to. Like, how do you stop this Alabama team? Well, you got to really play a great defensive game, almost a flawless defensive game to do it. My worry with San Diego State is, can they keep up offensively, knowing that Alabama is going to score? Like, they're probably not going to have those stretches of 6 minutes where they just don't score a point because they've got too many options. So, I think that's going to be the challenge for San Diego State in this game. But if they can slow it down, make this, you know, a 65-60 type game, they can win that. If it gets above that, I just think it's going to be a hard thing to do. UConn and Arkansas, my goodness. You want to talk about – this was like an SEC game because you're going to have just two teams throwing haymakers at each other. Hopefully not literally. But, like, these are two teams that are going to be physical. And I think this could turn into a free throw shooting contest because both teams allow each other, sort of their opponents, to get to the free throw line a lot this season because they are very physical. So I'm curious, and I almost think that's what Arkansas needs. They need this to kind of become a free throw shooting contest because I think that's their path to victory. This UConn team, honestly, guys, if you go back and, like, I've done this kind of looking at some of the advanced metrics and stuff. When you kind of find, you know, some of these places will put, like, here's kind of a comparison to past teams. When you look up UConn, there are a lot of comparisons over the past, I think, 15 years or so, that are pretty much Final Four national championship-type teams, just in terms of the makeup of the stats and all that. So it's going to be a really tough challenge for Arkansas. I know they just beat Kansas, but, boy, UConn is a tough team, and I think this could be a really hard one for the Hogs.
And we may not see a shirtless Eric Musselman again this year. Blake Lovell, our guest at The Blake Lovell on Twitter, Southeastern 14, covering the SEC.
Well, Blake, I guess can the SEC go 3-for-3? Give us your predictions.
Well, look, I just said all that, right? I said it's going to be tough. I think San Diego State's going to play Alabama tougher. I think UConn, you know, is a really tough challenge for Arkansas. And I said, hey, Tennessee's got to defend the three. But somehow, when we made our picks this week, me and myself and Chris Lee, I picked all the SEC teams. Like, I don't know if I'm just kind of, you know, pulling in the bias here, but I honestly, guys, if I had to rank it, and Tennessee fans, close your ears here.
Oh,
I actually think I am the most confident in Tennessee of all the teams. I'm sorry to say that, but I just the defense, guys. I love the defense, but every time I say it, I hesitate because we know we're 6 minutes away from them not scoring a point, and that worries me a little bit. But I actually really like the matchup, and I know a lot of people don't. But when I look at it, I think it's an okay matchup. I think San Diego State can give Alabama a little bit of trouble defensively, but I trust Alabama to get there. And then, you know, I'm just going to keep riding the must bus, I guess, for right now, because, you know, maybe Eric Musselman will be shirtless again after this game. I know he will be if they win this one, but I think there's something about this Arkansas team. They're very talented. I think this is a worse matchup than Kansas, but man, if you get Arkansas clicking all at once, they are one of the most talented teams in the country. And so, I'll take a chance on the Hogs there, but I do think this is a pretty tough matchup for them.
One more question. This is for all the Kentucky fans. If Calipari didn't have this big-time contract, would he be on the hottest of the hot seats?
I think if he didn't have that and he didn't have this recruiting class he's got coming in next year, which they are all kind of pointing towards and saying this could be the best class he's had, I think he would absolutely – I don't know what would happen this offseason. If he didn't have either one of those, I think there would be – a parting of the ways between the two. But the fact is he does have both of those in place. And I think next year, guys, we're going to call this Calipari's last stand, because if they don't win next year and they don't get close to the Final Four, I think there becomes a decision that has to be made there somewhere. So
no Elite Eight since 2019, no Final Four since 2015, no title since 2012.
That doesn't work for Kentucky.
Nope.
Yep, especially when Musselman took his shirt off and getting wins without those recruits, man. I don't want to see Calipari take his shirt off.
he might if they win it next year.
He may.
Oh, okay. We shall see.
Blake Lovell, he always keeps his shirt on. Thanks for the time today, man. Great stuff at The Blake Lovell again, Southeastern 14. You and Chris Lee doing some fantastic stuff over there. People need to go check it all out. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it, Blake.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks.
All right, the one and only Blake Lovell. All right, when we come back, Daryl's on the line. Jeff is on the line. Some people weighing in on the Zone TV chat. Which Tennessee team do you think can win the next national championship for the Vols? Lady Vols basketball, men's basketball, baseball, football. You want to weigh in on that? Phone lines are open, 615-737-1045. Hit us up on Twitter at Blaine and Mickey. You're, of course, always in the Zone TV chat. Blaine and Mickey, 1045 The Zone. So the question came up. By the way, three times in the last 25 years has an athletic program had a New Year's Six or BCS Bowl game, men's and women basketball in the Sweet 16, and what was the other one, Lucas?
Is it something to do with baseball?
No, I think it was just those three things, actually.
Yeah.
Tennessee should be happy.
And Tennessee did it. So basically that got us, it's
New Year's Six and Sweet 16 for men and women.
Yes, Sweet 16. Only three teams have done it the past 25 years. So Louisville, when they were on their magical run, Tennessee and Ohio State in 2010-11. Yeah. That's it. That's the extent of it. So then it got me thinking, like, gosh. Because Lucas said, as a UT grad, but I really want a championship from somebody. So then the question became, who's ready to win the next championship for Tennessee? Most ready. Who will win one next? Who do you believe? So the question's out there, 615-737-1045 on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Daryl in White House, and then Jeff. Daryl's up first. Daryl, what you got, man? What do you think?
What do you think, Daryl?
Well, I was listening to what you guys were saying, and I really like the way the bracket's set up for the men, but there's one team you guys left out of the conversation. Lady Vols softball is currently ranked number 3 in the nation, and their record's 24-1, if I recall correctly.
Whoa.
They may be the best shot right now.
Well, there you go.
Put them on the list.
Yeah, you only put four things in a Twitter poll, but I did put reply with others below because R. Parker in his own TV chat said, I'm going Lady Vols softball.
Mm.
So they get a little groundswell of support.
I know. What's the name's daughter's on there? Lawyer Malloy.
Oh, she got that genetics.
Yeah.
Yep.
She bringing home run power.
Boy. Jeff in Nashville bringing some phone call power to the show. Jeff, what you got, man? Which Vols team will win a championship next?
Boys, I want y'all to listen to me now and give you a reason why. Because I think it's the Tennessee Vols men's basketball team this year.
That's who I voted for, too.
I think they got it. And defense is the reason, just like what Blake was saying. We are like 22-0 this year with keeping teams under 60 points. They have not lost a game yet. Mm. And for that kind of defense, who else has that kind of record? Nobody.
That'd
be what I'm saying? Like, that's a tough beat right there.
That is a tough beat.
I'm not even just saying this time. This is going to go on till Barnes gets one. So I was putting my bet on Barnes. At some point, he's going to break through, whether it's this year or another year. It's just going to happen. He's too great of a guy. I mean, Hall of Fame. He's got to at least make it to a championship. May not win it, but he's got to make it there. And why not this year when nobody expects them? Why not? It's setting it right for him. That's why I picked basketball.
2-1's already eliminated.
Ziegler was healthy, I'd say this year is the best opportunity.
But maybe the losing
just never know
has
in basketball.
Galvanized them. Yeah, they come together.
Yeah, I feel like they've found a way to survive. So we shall see. But I get what you're saying, Lucas. Sorry, you know, you want more weapons. He brings a different deal: point guard, great defender, distributor, team guy. He's that jitterbug too.
Tiffany says baseball is safe. I guess meaning a safe choice.
Safe.
Lonzo says baseball, and he's got Mississippi State. Avatar, so they know about winning a baseball championship. Harold says basketball. They got the shortest distance to go to win.
I wanted to go football, but I kept thinking Georgia and Alabama. I just like, I don't know. They got Alabama this one time. They may be able to get them again, but I don't know. Georgia's the king of the mountain now. I don't know. They ready for that smoke over there in Georgia?
As long as they're not recruiting at the level Georgia and Alabama have over a consistent number of years, I don't see the national championship happening in football until they get to that level in recruiting.
And all they have to do is just kind of get half of what those guys are recruiting, really, because of this scheme and system on offense. Nobody's really proven they can shut it down unless you got guys. I got that guy. I got that guy.
Yeah.
I got that
like
guy.
You said with South Carolina, yep, where they got all these quarterbacks.
And then three of them go get drafted. Yeah. That's right. I try to tell y'all. I say, hey, man, them dudes is legit.
Yeah, you
I was impressed, especially that Rush dude who had his eyeball look like he popped out of his head the whole entire time. I thought he was going to get kicked out of that game, man, because he was doing some illegal stuff. He was hitting people late, and he was like, took his helmet off. I was like, hey, he looked kind of cray-cray.
Whoa, for one day he was cray cray in a good way.
Right, yeah, in a good way. Yeah, in a good way.
Well, for good for them anyway. Sorry about the bad memories.
Not for Tennessee.
Because that doesn't go down that way. You could have played for your championship.
Yeah, they could have. They would have been in the hunt. And remember, they came out flat on defense. Offense didn't do what they normally do. They had a good scheme and they had the right players that matched up. But remember, that was the game that the linebacker got suspended, right? Or for whatever reason, we don't even know.
Jeremy Banks that missed that game.
Does anybody know anything behind that at this point? He got asked about the combine.
Yeah, right? I asked him about it at the, combine.
What did he say? Give him your whole information, man.
So he didn't seem terribly prepared for the question, but basically he kept citing, it's a competitive environment, everybody fighting for a spot. And then he kind of stopped. Everybody said, okay, he's not going to answer the question. And then he kind of added at the end, like, there's no way that I shouldn't have been there playing with my brothers in South Carolina. And then you asked, like, did anything happen, in a competitive environment. He kept repeating that phrase.
I don't know. Hear rumors that he was like not going to class, and they told him to go to class. I'd not go to class. And they said, go to class.
Like, come on, man. I mean, the semester's over. I mean, I'm going to the NFL. Class, smash.
Well, I would have then, and I wouldn't have just made him run. I would have made him do up downs. Up down. That's going to be a punishment for you. Keep
like
doing
get
that
up to class and then get down to your next one.
Yeah, I would have made him run some stadium steps. Just if you say run some sprints, he can jog them. Yeah, well, you can't make the guy run, right? So I'm going to make you do some up downs, up some steps, something going to be strenuous if you're going to not do what I tell you to do. And I don't want to be put in a position where I'm cornered as a coach and I have to, sit you. I just can't do it. I want to win just as much as you, but you can't just ignore me. And I need to set an example. Do I set him by sitting him? And I think that's what they chose to do and just try to keep it copacetic and not, really throw him under the bus saying, hey, he didn't go to class or whatever the reason was. Yeah, I don't know if what people are saying are true or not. I have no idea. But I'm sure they have a reason. You got to trust in the coaches. It wasn't some one-off deal. It had to be something that was repeated over and over again. Right, Lucas?
Yeah. it had to be because you want that guy to play. Like, yeah. Go to class, please, so we don't have to do what we got to do.
Yeah. That was also, remember the rumor was about, that was the incident in the locker room right on the tee.
Correct.
I did not believe
Hendon
any of
Hooker
that.
Telling that he couldn't step on the tee. Now, Jimmy Himes all but came here and confirmed it on show.
He did.
Said that happened. They didn't get into a fight. Like, they weren't throwing, fists in the locker room, but that did happen. And but he said a lot of other things would have led up to Banks being suspended, not just that singular event.
Right. Now, does that make any sense? That happened, and you suspend a player. See, no, it does not make it. That is not justified to anything about suspending a player.
Yeah, that would have had to be like a third strike, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. That's right. What I'm getting at. It had to be a culmination of things for that to be the last strike. Okay, no way. Man. No way.
We're giving you so many warnings. Okay, all right, you spin.
Come on, bro. You're not supposed to step on the tee, and then you're going up here, challenge that quarterback. He up here trying to do the right thing, and then, come on. You the outlaw? Mm-mm. We got to send a message. And I'm sure some of the players was like, hey man. We playing without Banks. Can we just look past this?
What other message could we send? Did, yeah. Like, up downs are sending a fantastic message. Yeah. Hey, man, they want to win. Hey,
watch this. I would be a cruel coach. That's why I'm not coaching. Guess what? I would have had Banks. Banks is Lucas. Banks watching practice. Why the whole defense does up downs. And now they're so pissed at him for making them do extra. Mm-hmm. Be with the team or be without us. Now, y'all go handle this behind the scene and have a conversation with them after I finish with y'all doing up downs for 15 minutes. Oh.
So it'd be like making Robert like run the board for a certain amount of days while I just sit and watch him.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we'd be in serious trouble.
Had a cold iced tea and some leftovers from last night.
Yeah, because then, guess what? You get Banks to think, man, I hurt the team. I'm hurting my guys. Because he's not feeling it when you tell him as a coach. There's other ways to go around and get a guy. Send that message, especially a guy that I don't want to bench you. I'm not even saying, no, I want to win. I want to win too, and we got some good stuff going on right now.
Yeah, really, they did.
Whoa, man, that messed up the mojo because they didn't look like the same team just that one night. They didn't look the same. At least on defense, and then offense kind of still didn't either. They were out of sorts. All right, we'll give South Carolina their props though.
They did. It give them all the props they wanted. All right, Lucas is going to give us props if we don't get out of here because we're late for the break. When we come back, target for Titans wide receiver that we talked about yesterday that we all would have liked. It's no longer available. We'll tell you who that is next.
Who that?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.